صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا ابن رسول الله يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرتي كل مؤمن ومؤمنة يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وجاءت سكرة الموت بالحق ذلك ما كنت منه تحيد. ونفخ بالصور ذلك يوم الوعيد. أطروا أفواهكم بذكر الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. Second for the love of Imam al-Hasan and Imam al-Hussein. A third salawat for the love of Fatimah al-Zahra with your loudest voices. Sometimes we human beings know a fact. We know something as a fact. Yet we sometimes forget it. That same thing that we know as a fact, we forget it after a while. Being forgetful is part of human nature. Sometimes we know certain things, and then later on we forget them. That's why we have to keep reminders for ourselves. We human beings, we need reminders. That's why some people, they keep a photo of their wife, or their husband, or their son, or their cousin. At work, at home, on their phone, whatever. Why? So they're always reminded of that person, because we tend to forget. The Quran tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi to remind. فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ. Remind people. You're only a reminder. You have to remind. فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُلْ. Mu'mineen, remind, because a reminder benefits the believers. إِنَّ هَذِهِ تَذْكِرَةٌ فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَ. This, meaning the Qur'an itself is a reminder, is a book of reminders. Look at the Qur'an and see how many subjects are repeated. There are so many subjects that keep on being mentioned in the Qur'an. How many times does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention salat? Many times. أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ إِلَىٰ غَسَقِ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. And so on and so forth. Zakat, same thing. Tawheed, same thing. The Day of Judgment, heaven, hell. The story of Musa, how many times does it been mentioned in the Quran? Lots of times. Well, why doesn't Allah just mention salat once and say that's enough? No, because once is not enough. Why not mention fasting once and that's it? Because once is not enough. Allah has to remind us in every chapter, has to remind us. He has to remind us in every chapter of the Day of Judgment, because one time it's not enough. I will mention the name, the special name of Imam Mahdi. I will request all the brothers. We have a full house today to stand up and pull forward, or you don't have to stand up, just pull forward. رحم الله من ذكر القارن من غير القارن. Come forward, please. And sisters, push backwards. I know it's getting really cramped. You're welcome to come on the stage. I don't mind. As long as you don't take the microphone. صلى على محمد وآل محمد. The Quran, my friends, is full of reminders. There are so many subjects that have repeatedly been mentioned in the Quran because we need to be reminded. We human beings forget. Allah says, just in case you forget, Salah, I'll mention it again. I'll mention it a third time, and a fourth time, and a fifth time until it dwells in your mind perfectly. Tonight, we like to remember something and be reminded of something. Of a fact that each and every single one of us know. There's a fact that no one can deny, even little kids. No one can deny this fact that I'm about to say. Whether you're old, whether you're young, whether you're a male, whether you're a female, everyone knows this fact. Yet we forget it sometimes. We become absent-minded. And we need a reminder. And that fact is regarding death. That fact is regarding that this life is temporary. We need to be reminded consistently because we forget. All of us know that death is there. Who of us is immortal? No one's immortal. You can live a long life, but that life has to come to an end. No matter how enjoyable it is, no matter how miserable it is, it has to come to an end. Sometimes when you're watching a good movie, you wish that it just doesn't end. But after 12 hours, it ends, no matter what. Whether it has a good ending or a bad ending, it's going to end. This movie will also end sooner or later. We have to be reminded. We live in a society, my dear friends, that doesn't remind us. All we think about is this life. All it is dunya. All we talk about, all we think about, all we do is dunya, dunya, dunya. It's all about this life. When do we talk about the hereafter? When do we talk about the second life, the more important life, the eternal life, the one that has no ending whatsoever? We never talk about it. From the second that we wake up till the second that we sleep, it's all about dunya, it's all about this life. We don't talk about the second life. Only rarely. Look at the news now. Read the news. Read news magazines. All they're talking about is the economic crisis. The world is going crazy over the economic crisis. Why? Because it's dunya. It's about money. It's about how much you made. It's about how much you lost. No one goes crazy over the hereafter. You don't see live coverage of the hereafter. Or of someone's death, or of death in general. It's all about dunya. This we have to be reminded. Otherwise, this heart will become black. This heart will become a brick, a piece of brick. It needs to be reminded. Thus, we'd like to touch upon three points tonight. Number one, let's remember that in this life we're guests. We're guests. And guests always have to leave. When you have a guest at home, this guest stays for 1 day, 2 days. Some annoying guests stay for a week or 10 days. But eventually they leave. No guest stays forever. In this life we're guests. Sooner or later they're gonna tell us, leave. Leave. They're going to give us a signal to leave. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when the angel of death came to him, said, why didn't you give me a signal? Why didn't you give me a warning? Azrael told him, Allah gave you a warning, but you didn't realize it. What was that warning? He said, the first gray hair that came out of your beard, that was a sign. That was a sign that you have to leave. Pack your bags. Let's hear my dear friends with this. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, إِنَّ الدُّنْيَا دَارُ مَمَرُ وَالْآخِرَةُ إِنَّ الدُّنْيَا دَارُ مَمَرُ وَالْآخِرَةُ دَارُ مَقَرُ. This life is only a passage. It's a transit lounge. Some hadith say that this life is a bridge. الدُّنْيَا قَنْطَرَ. Have you seen someone build a house on a bridge? No one builds a house on a bridge. A bridge is used to go from one place to another, that's all. The place where our final destination is that life, not here. Have you been in the transit lounge at Heathrow? Sit at the transit lounge at Heathrow. Look at the planes that arrive and the planes that take off. Approximately every 50 seconds, a plane lands at Heathrow, and after 50 seconds, a plane takes off. Some people come, and others go. This is life. Some people come, and others go. Life is a transit lounge. No one stays in a transit lounge. You come a couple of hours, you do your shopping, and then a couple of hours later, you have another flight. You have to leave. You're forced to leave. Even if you want to stay, they won't let you stay. You have to leave. You have to depart. But what's important is that we make use of this transit lounge. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, إِنَّ الدُّنْيَا دَارُ مَمَرُ وَالْآخِرَةُ دَارُ مَقَرُ فَخُذُوا مِنْ مَمَرِّكُمْ لِمَقَرُّكُمْ. Take things, take souvenirs from the transit lounge for your final destination. Because over there, you will need certain things. And those things, you can pick them up from here, from the bridge, from the transit lounge. What have we done? We live a life, but what have we done? What have we accomplished? When we go to that next life, do we have something ready for us? What have we done? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day asks Jibra'il, or he requests rather from Jibra'il, he says, Ya Jibra'il, Azmi, advise me, admonish me. Even Rasulullah, the most wise, the wisest person ever, the most knowledgeable person ever, needs advice. He needs admonishment. Some people, they think that if they read a book or two, that's it. They become an Allah al-Khali. They become all knowledgeable. No one can speak to them anymore. No advice, no admonishment. Rasulullah needed advice. Rasulullah never reached a position in which he felt proud and he doesn't need advice. Even Rasulullah needed advice. A Shaykh al-Ansari, a Shaykh Murtad al-Ansari, who is a grand Ayatollah, one of our greatest scholars, one of his students would attend his lectures at an akhlaq class. He would teach a class on akhlaq. Shaykh al-Ansari, in the morning, he would teach a class his students would attend, including that special student. In the afternoon, he would attend a class of his own student in akhlaq. This is humbleness. This is called humbleness. He would go and attend this class on akhlaq to seek advice. Great mujtahids, great scholars would hold lectures at their homes. They would bring other speakers, not themselves. They would bring other speakers to give speech in their presence. Even if you become a grand ayatollah, you still need advice. You still need to hear words of admonishment. Rasulullah tells Jibra'il, Ya Jibra'il, Azmi. So Jibra'il gives him advice. He says, Ya Muhammad, Ish ma shit. فَإِنَّكَ مَيِّتْ. Live as long as you want. At the end of the day, you're dead. You're a dead man. How many years do you want to live? 100, 1,000, 2,000? Nuh lived for over 1,500 years. At the end of the day, he died. Go visit his grave in Najd. All prophets died. Who gets to stay? عِشْ مَا شِئْتْ فَإِنَّكَ مَيِّتْ وَحْبِبْ مَا شِئْتْ فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقُ. Love whoever you want, but one day you're going to have to depart. One day you're going to have to leave that person. وَقْمِنْ مَا شِئْتْ فَإِنَّكَ مُرَاقِيهِ. And do whatever you want, but that action you will see. the actions, you can't leave your action. You're stuck with your action. Whatever action that you do, you'll see that action. الدنيا مزرعة الآخرة. And this life, we're planting. We're putting in the soil what we want to see in the next life. If you want to see good stuff in that in the next life, grow good seeds here. A gardener who wants to grow an orange tree has to plant an orange seed. If he wants an apple tree, he has to plant an apple seed. You can't plant an apple seed and get an orange tree. That's not possible. Have you seen a gardener who puts an apple seed and gets an orange tree? If you want a good life there, make sure you do good stuff here. Invest for yourself. In another hadith, للمرء ثلاثة أخلاء. Each human being has three friends. فخليل يقول أنا معك إلى أن تموت وهو ماله. One friend says that I am with you, you human being, I'm with you till the minute that you die. But as soon as you die, Allahu Akbar. I don't know you anymore. And who is that friend? Our wealth. As soon as we die, scholars say that our wealth gets transported from us to whom? The heirs, family, children, wife, husband, mother, father. As soon as we die. وَخَلِيلٌ يَقُولَ أَنَا مَعَكَ إِلَى الْقَبْرِ. And the second friend says, no, I'll stick with you a little bit more than that. I'll come with you all the way to the grave. But no more than that. I'm not coming down with you over there. And that's the family members. Family members will stick with you until they put you in your grave. As soon as they put you in the grave, they pour the soil, and then they head back home. And that's it. They're not coming down with you. وخليل يقول أنا معك حيا وميتا وهو عمل. And another friend says, I will be with you whether you're dead or alive, whether you're here or whether you're under there. And that friend is a person's actions. Is a person's actions. So what have we done? What have we done? Have we done good actions that we'll be proud for them to be with us no matter where we go? Let's think. Let's reflect a little bit. Let's reflect on ourselves. What have we done? Amir al-Mu'min says, إِلَى مَاتَ الْمَيِّتْ قَالَ النَّاسِ مَاذَا تَرَكْ وَقَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَ مَاذَا قَدَّمْ. When a human being dies, people ask, what has he left? How many homes? How many cars? How large is his bank account? How many investments? How many businesses? This is human beings. As for angels, they ask another question. What has he given forward? What has he done for the next life? We don't care about his homes here. They ask about homes, but not that a home is here, the home is there. How many homes has he produced in that life? How many cars? A human being has two bank accounts. One bank account is with HSBC here, and the other account is over there, an invisible account. We all have an account here. But the problem is we don't know our balance in the other account. The angels will be asking about that account. When a human being dies, people want to know how much he has here. Look at Michael Jackson. When he died, everyone started asking how many homes. How many estates? How many millions of dollars does he have in his bank account? What good will that do? Did you know that this person became richer after his death? He became richer. He made millions of dollars after his death. His sales record went up. He sold lots of albums after his death. He made millions. But what good are these millions? What good are these millions? After he's gone, after they put him in his grave, what good are these millions? He even became the world's largest millionaire, or billionaire, or trillionaire. What good? Thus, let's ask ourselves, what have we done? We're not here forever. Tomorrow we'll be told to leave. What have we done? Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayh, when he went to the battle of Safin, he was in Kufa. Amir al-Mu'mineen's capital was in Kufa. He went to the battle of Safin and then came back to Kufa. The hadith says, وَقَفَ بِظَهْرِ الْكُوفَ. There's a graveyard right next to Kufa. Everyone knows them. Wadi Salam, which is in Najaf. The world's largest cemetery is in the city of Najaf. Amir al-Mu'mineen stood and his companions are there standing with him. Amir al-Mu'mineen wants his companions to listen carefully. He looked to the graves and he began to speak to the graves. Ya Ahl al-Warba, Ya Ahl al-Wahsha, Ya Ahl al-Turba, Ya Ahl al-Zulma. All the people of loneliness, indeed, a person who is alone in his grave, is there any loneliness greater than that? Ya Ahl al-Turba, O people of sand, Ya Ahl al-Zulma, O people of darkness, is there a place more darker than a grave? أنتم لنا فرط سابق ونحن لكم تبع لاحق. You have beaten us to your destinies and we shall soon be following you. We shall soon be following your footsteps. Amir al-Mu'mineen speaking to whom? The dead, to the people of the graves. And then listen to this. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, أما الدور فقد سكنت. You're wondering about your homes? What happened to your homes? You left large homes and castles and palaces. I'll tell you what happened to your homes. أَمَّا الدُّورُ فَقَدْ سُكِنَتْ. You think your room is still empty? Your homes are empty? Your house is vacant? No, my dear friends. There's no vacancy. Your homes are full. People are living. أَمَّا الدُّورُ فَقَدْ سُكِنَتْ وَأَمَّا الْأَمْوَانُ فَقَدْ وُزِّعَتْ. You're wondering what happened to your wealth? It's gone. Not a single dollar. Not a single pound. Your wealth was dispersed among your friends, among your family, among your children. I have a friend who said, I went to perform salat in mayyit over a dead body in a graveyard in America. He said, as I was reciting salat in mayyit, I heard two people fighting. He said, I ignored it. After I finished, after we buried, I asked one of the people at the funeral, at the burial, I said, what was that fight? And that's what he's laughing. He said, say, you won't believe. What? He said, two of the sons of this person who's died, they're fighting over his Mercedes-Benz. Who gets to take it? Their father isn't even under the ground yet. They're praying, so that's his mate, and they're fighting over the Benz. أَمَّا الْأَمْوَانُ فَقَدْ وَزَّعَتْ. A reliable source told me the following story. I heard the following story from a reliable source. I don't think he would make this up. It says that a man died. His family took him to the hospital. He died in the hospital, and they put him in a fridge. Usually, if you don't want to bury the person the same day or the next day, you put him where? In a fridge. They came back home. After a couple of hours, the sons, they received a phone call from the hospital. We have good news for you. What's the good news? They said, we have unbelievable news. What? Your father just woke up. Your father's not dead. Your father's not dead? Your father's not dead. We opened the fridge and we saw him alive. Apparently, he had a cardiac arrest, but he came back. So please rush back. We just took him out of the fridge. Rush back and come see your father. I'm bringing a jacket. He's really cold. He says, my father is alive? My father came back? Who told him to come back? The man said, I'm sorry, I think I have the wrong number. Are you sure you're his son? He said, yeah, I'm his son, and I'm asking you, who told him to come back? Why did he remain dead? The man said, I cannot believe I'm hearing this from you. He said, no, because we have a major problem now. This just created a problem for us. What's the problem? He said, as soon as we heard our father die, my brothers and I came and divided everything. The house, the cars, the business, the money. My father's going to come back home. He doesn't have a room to stay. So keep him with you at the hospital for a moment until we decide what we're going to do. Some tragedies, they make you laugh. But this is a tragedy. This is what happens. أَمَّا الدُّورُ فَقَدْ سُكِنَتْ وَأَمَّا الْأَمْوَالُ فَقَدْ وُزِّعَتْ وَأَمَّا الْأَزْوَاجُ فَقَدْ مُكِحَتْ. And if you want to ask about your spouses, your husbands, your wives, don't worry, they already got married. Don't think they're still waiting for you crying. People will cry for a month, 2 months, and then they're going to move on. The widow is going to move on. The wife will cry for 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, and then she's going to get married. Of course, not all. Or the husband. Not all, but a great deal of them. I have a friend in Los Angeles. I remember his wife died. Every time I saw him, he was crying. I really had a lot of pity for him. Every time I saw him, he was depressed, he was crying all the time. One week I saw him, he was smiling. Oh, huh, what happened? Say, Morana, I got married. Congratulations. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not haram. وَأَمَّنْ أَزْوَاجْ فَقَدْ نُكِحَتْ. And then Amir Mumin says, هَذَا خَبُرُ مَا عَنْدَنَا. فَمَا خَبُرُ مَا عَنْدَكُمْ. If you want to know what's happening in this life, what you're missing out on, this is it. This is the 411. This is your wealth, your homes, and your spouses, your wives. What else do you want to know? هَذَا خَبَرُ مَا عِنْدَنَا فَمَا خَبَرُ مَا عِنْدَكُمْ. We gave you the newsflash of this life, now tell us your newsflash. Tell us what's happening over there. And then Amir al-Mu'minin looks to his companions, and he says that they, obviously they cannot speak. They can't speak. أَمَّا لَوْ قُدْرَ لَهُمْ بِالْكَلَامِ. However, if they could speak to us right now, أَمَّا لَوْ قُدْرَ لَهُمْ بِالْكَلَامِ لَأَخْبَرُوكُمْ إِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. إِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. That the best thing you could bring with you in that journey is piety, piety, piety. Bring piety with you. The fear of Allah. This is the only thing that matters, my dear friends. So what have we done? What have we done? And since it's Muharram, I'd like to give you glad tidings, my dear friends. I have good news for all of you. Al-Allam al-Amini, al-Shaykh Abdul Hussein al-Amini, a great scholar, the one who wrote Musu'at al-Ghadir. He wrote a book called Al-Ghadir, 10 volumes. This person was an unbelievable scholar. His son saw him in a dream after his death. Al-Allamah al-Amini died. His son saw him in his dream. And of course, now, there are some dreams that mean something. Other dreams don't mean anything. Some people have too many dreams. Some people have a very heavy dinner, and that night they'll have all kinds of dreams. These dreams don't matter. But there are some dreams that matter. So, ru'ya sadiqa. Al-Alam al-Amini's son, he saw his father in his dream. He told him, how are you? He said, I'm doing very well. How are you doing over there? He said, I'm doing very well. He said, can you tell me a little bit about that life? He says, my son, I'll summarize it to you in one sentence. I'll tell you one thing. Here in this life, everything is in the hands of Imam Hussein. Everything is in the hands of Imam Hussein. What have you done for parents? This is good news, my friends. You come every night, you wear black, you shed a few tears, even one tear. If you can't pretend that you're shedding a tear. We have this in some narrations. It says that if you can't cry, pretend you're crying, you'll get the reward. Man baka, aw abka, aw tabaka. Tabaka means he's pretending to cry. Dakhala Allahu lahu dhunuba. Man abka. أو بكى أو تباكى على الحسين غفر الله له ذنوبه. This is good news for us. Thus, let's ask ourselves, what have we done? Not for this life, for the next life. What have we done for the next life? One day, Harun al-Rashid, the famous Harun al-Rashid, was walking in the streets of Baghdad. He sees a poor person sitting in the street begging. Harun, Everyone knows Harun. An emperor. He looked like an emperor. His castles, his slaves, his servants, his spending. He looked like an emperor. One day in the street of Baghdad, he sees a poor peasant. Harun makes fun of him. He tells him, "Ma azhadik. You're so humble." He's being sarcastic. "You're so humble. Wearing rags, sitting on the sidewalk, standing your hand, begging people." The man raises his hand to Harun. He said, "Yes, na'am, lakin anta azhad minni. I'm humble, I know, but you are more humble than I am." Harun says, "Me? Do you know who I am? Do you know how much I own? I'm humble?" The man said, "Yes, I'm humble towards this life, but you're humble towards that life. You own homes in this life, but how many homes do you own in that life? What have you done for that life? So who's more humble, you or I?" Real humbleness is not the humbleness in this life. Real poverty is not the poverty in this life. Real poverty is the poverty in that life. Again, my dear friends, I'm very sorry. I will mention the special name of the Imam. Please stand and pull forward as much as possible. Don't leave any gaps. رحم الله من ذكر القائم من آل محمد. Pull forward, please. Pull forward. Come on stage, there's no problem. Come on stage and make room. صلى على محمد وآل محمد. Come forward, please. Make room for the ones that are standing outside. صلى على محمد وآل محمد. Harun al-Rashid, the same person that we just talked about, who would speak to the clouds. Have you seen a person like that? Who would speak to the clouds. Who would tell the clouds, "Go east, go west. Wherever you go, you will still be on my kingdom. Wherever you go, you will still reign on my kingdom." This is how proud he was, speaking to the clouds. One day, Harun al-Rashid, he had a minister, he had an advisor. He told him, "Give me an advice. But I wish that he would actually implement the advice." There's some people that seek advice just for the heck of it. And there are others that want to implement it. Harun, no, he just wanted to listen to a good advice. The man said, "Okay, I'll give you a good advice." He said, "Ya Harun, if one day you're walking in the desert and your army abandons you and you get lost in the middle of the desert and it's extremely hot and you become thirsty, all of a sudden you see a person walking in the desert with a cup of water and you're very thirsty, how much would you give him for this cup of water?" Harun thought about it for a second and then he said, "I would give him half of my kingdom." This large kingdom that he would say, "Speak to the clouds, go east or west, he will still reign on my kingdom." He says, "I would give half of this kingdom to this person who gave me a cup of water and saved my life." He said, "Okay. Now that you drank this cup of water, all of a sudden you developed a problem and you have to urinate. You want to urinate, but you can't. You developed a problem. And if you can't urinate for 2 or 3 days, what's going to happen? You die. Your body becomes poison and you die. But a doctor comes to you, you see a doctor, and the doctor says, "I will fix your problem. I will give you medicine. But how much would you give me?" How much would you give him, Ya Harun? Harun thought about it for a minute. He said, "I would give him the other half of my kingdom." The minister said, "You would give your entire kingdom to urinate once. You would give your entire kingdom for one urination. So is it worth to kill so many people for something that's not even the worth of a urination?" This was all. Thus, let's think, my dear friends. The second point. Let's be reminded of death itself. Let's remember death. let's remember that soon we'll be leaving. And one day, the game is over. Have you seen sometimes when you're taking a test and you're given 60 minutes? Or 2 hours, or whatever. And then all of a sudden the teacher says, pencils drop. Drop your pencils. That's it. Do you think you're going to go back and mark that answer? No way. That's it. When it's over, it's over. اليوم عمل بلا حساب وغدا حساب بلا عمل. Today you can do whatever you want and there's no judgment. But tomorrow there's judgment without actions. There's no more actions. Let's remember death. Let's be reminded that death is coming no matter what. The hadith says, إِذَا كُنْتَ فِي إِدْبَارِ وَالْمَوْتُ فِي إِقْبَالِ فَمَا أَسْرَعَ الْمُرْتَقَى. If you have a friend in Manchester and he wants to come to London, how many hours will it take? How many hours? 4 hours? 3 hours? I don't know the distance, honestly. 4 hours. If you have a friend coming from Manchester, he'll take it 4 hours. It'll take her 4 hours. And if you want to go to Manchester, it'll take you 4 hours. But if you and your friend decide to meet in the middle, how long will it take you? 2 hours. It'll take shorter. It'll take less time. The hadith says, إِذَا كُنْتَ فِي إِدْبَارِ, if you're going, وَالْمَوْتُ فِي إِقْبَالِ, and death is coming, you will be meeting soon, because you're going and death is coming. What a beautiful example. فَمَا أَصْرَعَ الْمُرْتَقَى. Death is coming, no matter what. When? The problem is, when is it coming? Tonight? Tomorrow? In 20 years? In 40 years? We don't know. But are we ready? Let's be reminded of death. There are certain actions and practices that Islam has set for us to remind us of death. Let's perform these actions. Ahadith say that it is recommended to go to funerals. Why? Because it reminds you of death. When you go to a funeral, when you attend a burial, when you walk in a procession, tashi' al-janazah, you are reminded that as this person left, you will also have to go. Some hadith say that if you are invited to attend a funeral, and at the same time attend a wedding, attend the funeral and don't go to the wedding. Why? Because the funeral will remind you of the akhirah, and the wedding will remind you of dunya. And it is better to be reminded of the akhirah than to be reminded of dunya. Ahadith say that it is recommended to visit cemeteries. Why? Because you'll be reminded of death. You'll be reminded that this is the result. This is our result. This is the consequence. Go wherever you want to go. Build the largest palaces, but at the end of the day, you will have a grave this large. And Allah, I've seen certain graves. Believe me, they're this wide. They're this wide. I attended a funeral just 2 weeks before I came. This wide. You might ask, how will that person be? How will that person fit? Let me tell you something. This grave, and Allah, I don't know about other places, in Iraq, the graves are L-shaped. They put the dead body in, and they stick it inside. L-shaped. You go in, head first, and then they put you inside. And then they close the wall. They put a brick, and dirt falls. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Just thinking about this shortens my breath. When I think about this, when I look at a grave like that, I'm out of breath. Let's think about this. That this is the result, no matter what, no matter where we go, this is the result. However, it's not all that bad. Because the hadith says, Al-qabr imma rawla min riyad al-jannah aw hufra min hufra al-nar. We have the choice. We can either make this grave a room, a palace, one of the palaces of paradise, or we can make it one of the rooms of hell. It's our choice. Thus, in its exterior, the grave is this wide. But if we produce, if we work for the next life, this grave will become paradise for us. Let's think about that. Let's be reminded of that. Why visit the cemetery? Why attend the Shi'an Janazah? Why look at a burial? Because it reminds us that we're next. It reduces our attachment to this life. Rasulullah would say, اِذْكُرُوا أَكْثُرُوا مِنْ ذِكْرِ هَذِهِ مِنْ لَذَّاتِ. Remember death. Increase your remembrance of death. هَذِهِ مِنْ لَذَّاتِ means that which destroys all pleasures. Indeed. Death and the remembrance of death destroys all pleasures. مَنْ ذَكَرَ الْمَوْتِ رَضِيَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا لِيَسِيرُ. He reminds himself of death, this person will be satisfied with anything, with a simple life. A person who remembers death. A person who remembers death is not going to fight over a salary or over a large salary. A person who remembers death is not going to want to buy a brand new Hummer, 80,000 pounds. Why? Because he's going to realize that he's going to give it to someone else. He buys it today, but someone else is going to benefit tomorrow. I always give this metaphor. I like this metaphor. When someone goes to another city and stays at a hotel, he might stay at a hotel for 2 nights, 3 nights. And the TV is quite small, because at home, it has a 60-inch TV. And the TV in the hotel room isn't quite thinner. Is he going to go buy a 60-inch TV for that hotel room? Which same person is going to go buy a brand new TV for that hotel room? No one's going to do it. Because you're only staying at that hotel room for 2 nights, 3 nights. And then someone else is going to stay in this room. And that person leaves, a third person, and a fourth person is going to leave. A third person is going to stay. You're not going to buy a brand new TV for someone else to benefit from. We believe in this. But in reality, we don't implement it. We work from day, from morning till night for this life. And then tomorrow we're told to leave, and everything else remains for others. We work hard for others, benefit. And finally, my friends, let's begin to prepare. Now that we know that death is certain, for sure, death is inevitable, and there's another life waiting for us, shouldn't we start preparing? Shouldn't we get ourselves prepared? Most of you probably go to the Middle East in the summer. Where you go on a trip, whether it's to the Middle East or somewhere else. How many months before that trip you begin to prepare? You renew your passport, you get your visa, you look up maps, you start buying gifts, you buy new clothes, you make reservations, you find yourself hotels, you begin to prepare for a journey that only takes a month. Or 2 months, no more. When you go to the Middle East, you don't stay forever. You only go for the summer and then you come back. But you spend months in preparing. We have a whole journey ahead of us. A journey in which we'll never come back. When we're gone, we're gone. إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدُهُمُ الْمَوْتُ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونِ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِيمَا تَرَكْتُ كَلَّا إنها كلمة هو قائلها ومن ورائهم برزخ إلى يوم يبعثون. The verse says that when death comes to us, when we see the angel of death, we'll say, oh, hold on a second. Come back tomorrow. Come back next year, please. I'm not ready right now. Come back in 5 years. What will the answer be? كلا إنها كلمة هو قائلها. That's it. When Azrael comes, that means it's over. It's time to leave. Let's prepare, because we're not coming back. Let's prepare for this journey. And the best way, my dear friends, the best way to prepare is to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's to repent of Allah. It's to start seeking forgiveness, because we're all sinners. We're all sinners. How many sins have we performed? How many crimes, religious crimes, have we committed? The best way to prepare ourselves for that journey is to clean our hearts from these sins. Clean our hearts. Let's go to Allah with pure hearts, clean hearts. يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. About day, nothing will benefit. No children, no family, no wealth, nothing except one thing: the pure hearts, the clean hearts. Family members won't benefit on that day. The Quran says, "يوم يفر المرء من أخيه وأمه وأبيه." On the day of judgment, some hadiths say that on the day of judgment, a mother will come and she will see her record, her entire record. She will see all of her sins. She will go to her son. She will say, "My son, didn't I raise you? For 9 months, wasn't I pregnant? Weren't you in my stomach? Didn't I deliver you, bring you to life? Didn't I work so hard to raise you?" He says, "Yes, yes, yes. Get to the point." She says, "I have one request. You see all these sins? Please take one of your sins. Please take one of my sins and give me one of your good deeds. Just take one sin of mine. That's all I ask. And give me only one of your good deeds. That's all I ask." The son will turn around and run. يَوْمَ يَثَرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ. On that day, the person will run from his brother, his mother, his father. He'll pretend he doesn't recognize anyone. Each man for himself. Let's prepare. The best way to prepare, my friends, is by istighfar, by tawbah. Let's abandon our sins. Let's face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sinless. أَتَّعُبُ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. A person who seeks forgiveness, it's as if he hasn't committed a sin. Allah is merciful. Allah says, "Come to me and seek forgiveness, I'll erase everything. I'll clean your record. I'll clean your record." However, an istighfar has a procedure, has steps. At-tawbah has steps. You can't just raise your hand and say istighfarullah, no. Amir al-Mu'mineen tells us how to perform istighfar and how to perform tawbah. Come with me. The Imam has 6 steps for istighfar. Number 1, أَوَّلُهَا النَّدْمُ عَلَى مَا مَضَى. First, you want to seek forgiveness. First, regret what you've done. Feel regret. You can't tell Allah, "Oh Allah, I regret drinking alcohol. But man, it was good." This is not istighfar. This is a joke. You seek istighfar when you truly regret what you've done. You feel sorry. You regret. In other words, if you were to go back, you wouldn't do it again. أَوَّلُهَا النَّدَمُ عَلَى مَا مَضَى. You start feeling sorry, regretful. This is number 1. For every sin that you committed, you regret it. You feel sorry. Number 2, وَالْعَزْمُ عَلَى تَرْكِ الْعَوْدِ إِلَيْهِ عَدَدًا. You make a decision never to go back to that sin again. Never. You become determined never to go back to that sin or any other sin. Some people, they seek forgiveness, and then he's thinking of doing it again that same night, or the next day, whatever sin it was. Whether it was backbiting, or drinking, or looking at haram, or saying haram, or hearing haram, whatever it is. He's saying istighfar, but he's planning. He's planning to go back. This is not istighfar. This is not tawbah. This is not genuine tawbah. 3. وَأَن تُعَدِّي إِلَى الْمَخْلُوقِينَ حُقُوقَهُمْ. Some people, they go steal millions, they say, "Astaghfirullah, I'll give it to you." Genuine istighfar, you have to give everything back. If you've taken from people, if you've stolen. You see, today, we don't have thieves in our communities, Islamic communities. We don't have thieves that go and break into people's homes. No, we don't have thieves like that. But we have people stealing from the nation's wealth. Look at Iraq. Look at some of our politicians. Unfortunately, those who claim to be followers of the middle of the night. Followers of Hussein. When Ashura comes, they're the first people to get on their chest. But look at their actions. And then they think that istighfar is enough. Iman says, and to add إلى المخلوقين حقوقهم. First go and give back what you took, and then say something. Then come back to Allah. Fourth, أن تعمد إلى كل فريضة عليك ضيعتها فتؤدي حقها. If you've missed out, if you've missed certain prayers, certain fasting, khums, zakat, it's not enough to say astaghfirullah and Allah forgives. No, go back and do your prayers. If for 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, you didn't pray, go back. Go back and pray. If you didn't fast, even if you were young and you didn't know and you were wild, and say astaghfirullah. Allah will forgive, but first, go back and perform whatever you didn't do. Whether it was prayer, whether it was fasting, whether it was khums, whatever it was. Number five, أن تعمد إلى اللحم الذي نبت على السحت فتذيبه. Allahu Akbar. This flesh, this meat that grew out of haram, let it melt. Let it melt. Let it go away. This meat that came from haram food or from unlawful income, this meat cannot remain. This meat has to go. This flesh has to go. You have to turn it into bone and skin. Just skin and bones, that's it. وَأَن تَعْمِدَ إِلَى اللَّحْمِ الَّذِي نَبَتَ عَلَى السُّحْتِ فَتُذِيبُهُ. This flesh has to go. And then finally, the sixth, أَن تُذِيقَ الْجِسْمِ أَلَمَ الطَّاعَةِ كَمَا أَذَقْتَهُ حَلَاوَةَ الْمَعْصِيَةِ. Your body had a lot of pleasures. Every pleasure that your body wanted, you gave. Whether it was sleeping all day, eating anything that you wanted, listening to whatever you wanted, saying whatever you wanted, doing whatever you wanted. Your body received so much pleasure, enjoyed so much pleasure. Now let your body taste pain, the pain of obedience. The same way it tasted the pleasure of disobedience. Get up in the middle of the night. Don't sleep. Pray Salatul Layl. You force yourself, this body that enjoyed the pleasure of disobedience, today it has to taste the pain of obedience. Let it obey. Go to Hajj. Walk to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Pray Salatul Layl. Reduce your sleep. Your body has to taste this. And then Amir al-Mu'mineen says, فَعِنَّ ذَلِكْ تَقُولْ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ. After these six steps, then you say أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ. Oh Allah, forgive me. Not directly. There are steps that you have to take. Imam Musa ibn Ja'far, salamullah alayhi, one day was walking in the streets of Baghdad. He sees a house. Music is blasting, dancing, alcohol. People are shouting, laughing. He saw his servant standing at the door. He said, go and ask the owner of this house, is he a slave or is he a free person? The servant goes, comes back. He says, the owner says, I'm a free person, I'm not a slave. He said, indeed, he's a free person, he's not a slave. Because if he was a slave, he would obey his master. He would obey his master, he's not a slave. The servant rushes in and he says, this person said this. The owner of the house, the owner of the home, his name was Bish. Bish realizes that these words are spiritual words that can only be uttered by one of the members of Ahlul Bayt. He rushes out barefoot. Barefoot running after the Imam. He said, who are you? He kneeled. He kissed his feet and he said, I want to seek forgiveness. This man was named Bishr al-Hafi. Bish the barefoot. From that day on, he sought forgiveness, his life turned upside down. One day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi was sitting inside the masjid. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. One day Rasulullah opened your hearts for this story. It's unbelievable. One day Rasulullah was sitting in the masjid, a man came to him. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I've committed a great crime. A great crime. Rasulullah said, how big is your crime? He said, great. He said, is it greater than the skies? He said, even greater. Is it greater than the earth? He said, even greater. He said, but is it greater than the mercy of Allah? He said, no. He said, what is your crime? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm embarrassed to tell you what my crime is, what my sin is. Rasulullah told me, Rasulullah said, tell me, perhaps I can help you. The man said, I'm ashamed to tell you, but I will tell you. Ya Rasulullah, my profession is to dig people's graves and steal their kafan. It's to steal their shrouds. Their kafan, the three pieces of cloth that they bury us with. He says, my profession is to dig people's graves and steal their kafan and then go sell it and make a living. Rasulullah is listening. He said, one day, the man is telling Rasulullah, one day, a young woman in the city of Medina was about to die. She sends to me. She sends a message that she wants to sing. I went to her. I saw her lying on her deathbed, a young woman. She told me, listen, I know about your profession. And I know that you dig people's graves and you steal their kafan. He said, no, a'udhu billah, astaghfirullah. She said, listen, you don't have to lie about it. I'm about to die soon, and they're about to bury me. Do not come to my grave. Do not dig my grave. Do not steal my kafan. Here are lots of akfan for you to take. And she threw in front of him, three or four shrouds for him to take. She said, take this. But don't come to my grave. He said, astaghfirullah, what are you talking? This is nonsense. She said, that's it. Take that akfan and leave. He said, I took them and I left. A few days later, she died. They took her body to the graveyard, and I walked into the procession. When they buried her, Shaytan came to me. I came and I put a stone on her grave to know where she was buried, as a sign of where her grave is. That night, everyone fell asleep. I got up in the middle of the night. I came to the cemetery, and I began to dig her grave. I dug her grave, I saw her body, I stripped her from her clothes. And then Shaytan came to me and I performed a great crime. I don't want to say. The man performed a great crime. It's unspeakable. And here I am today. He said, as I was about to leave the grave, I heard a sound behind me. The lady started speaking. She said, فَضَحَكَ اللَّهِ كَمَا فَضَحْتَنِي وَجَعَلْتَنِي جُنُبًا بَيْنَ الْأَمْرَاتِ. May Allah expose you the same way you exposed me and let me junub among the dead. Very great comment. Rasulullah, as he heard this, he was astonished. He said, you know what, get up, leave, get out. He said, where? He said, leave Medina. Allah is going to punish you and punish all of us with you. The man left, he went to a mountain over there and disappeared for 40 days. For 40 days he disappeared. He went to the mountains, he put a chain in his hands and got stuck to a tree. For 40 days he didn't eat, he didn't drink. He only ate a little bit and he only drank a little bit. After 40 days, Jibreel came to Rasulullah. He told him, Ya Rasulullah, Allah has a question for you. He says that Fulan, that person, is he your servant or my servant? He said, no, he's Allah's servant. He said that if he's Allah's servant, then why did you kick him out? Go to him and tell him that Allah has forgiven him because for 40 days and 40 nights he has sought forgiveness and Allah has forgiven him. What a great crime! Such a great crime that Allah is still merciful. Allah, my God. This is the mercy of Allah. This is the mercy of Allah. That no matter what sin you perform, Allah is still merciful. As long as you're genuine. Rasulullah went to him with a group of companions. He saw me had turned into skin and bones. That's it. Rasulullah came to him and he said, I have good news. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven you. The man started crying. He performed sujood to thank Allah. And that was the last time he got up. He never got up anymore. He died. Allah forgave him and he died. And on the day of Ashura, there was someone else who came to seek forgiveness. And that was Al-Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi. Al-Hur was the cause for Imam Hussein to come to Ashura. It was the cause for Imam Hussein to come to Karbala. The Imam was headed towards Kufa. Yet Al-Hur came with his soldiers and blocked the Imam. He didn't let him reach Kufa. He was the one that brought him to Karbala, forced him to come to Karbala. Yet Al-Hur felt he was guilty. Felt he was sinful. On the day of Ashura, he stands on the battlefield and he says, "Inni hara nafsi mukhayyar." When his comrades, they tell him, "Ya Hur, we see you in a very weird situation. You look scared." His companion says that if I was asked who's the bravest man in Kufa, I would say it's you. But today you seem scared. He said, "Indeed, I'm scared. Because I see myself making a decision between hell and heaven. إني أرى نفسي مخيرة بين الجنة والنار ووالله لن أخر على الجنة شيئا. I see myself making a decision between hell and heaven, and I will never choose anything over heaven." He mounts, he rides his horse and he comes towards Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein hears that a knight with a horse approaching him. He says, "من هذا؟ من هذا?" He says, "سيدي أنا الذي جعجعت بك عن الطريق." I was the one that caused you to come here, my dear master. I was the one that caused you all of this misery, all of this agony. أَنَا الَّذِي جَعْجَعْتُ بِكَ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ فَهَلْ تَرَانِي مِنْ تَوْبَةٍ. Do you think that I can repent and seek forgiveness? Will Allah forgive me? Imam Hussein tells him, إِنْ تُبْتَ فَقَدْ تَعَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكِ. If you truly seek forgiveness, Allah will forgive you. And then he says, "Come and sit with us. Come and sit in this camp." Al-Hur says, "No." He says, "I was the first person who rose against you and caused you tragedy. Let me be the first person to die at your hands, to die in your defense." It was a tradition. As a person entering a battle, you would recite verses of poetry. Al-Hur also began to recite verses of poetry. إني أنا الحر ومأوى الضيف أضرب في أعناقكم بالسيف عن خير من حل بأرض الخيف أضربكم ولا أرى من حيفي. Imam Hussein عليه السلام, he sees Al-Hur fighting until all of a sudden he hears Al-Hur saying, "As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah." Imam Hussein rides his horse and he rushes to Hur. He sees Hur breathing his last breath, taking his last moments. Imam Hussein comes down to him. "Anta Hurun kama sammatka ummuk, Hurun fi dunya wal akhirah." Hur, you are truly a free man. Your mother, when she named you a free man, she was not mistaken. Indeed, you are free. Al-Hur passes away. On the day of Ashura, immediately, as soon as Al-Hur passed away, his clan, his tribe, they come and they bury him. They bury him. They did not leave him waiting in the soil. They did not leave him waiting on the battleground. They did not let anyone play with Al-Hur's body. No one beheaded Al-Hur. No one stripped him from his armor. No one chopped off his body parts. Immediately, they buried Al-Hur. There's a poet that says Al-Hur was buried, but there were others that were not buried. Those who did not have a tribe. I want everyone to recite with me. Al-Ashir Al-Sharit Abhar Al-Tahir. With me. العشيرة شالت بحر الظهيرة الكل منهم عليا شالت الغيرة بس ظل والماحدهم عشيرة ضحايا بالشمس من غير تقسيم. Among those that died with Imam Hussein, in these nights, remember Al-Ashab. the companions of Imam Hussein. We commemorate the companions of Imam Hussein. Among the companions of Imam Hussein was a young boy, 10 years old, or 9 years old. He doesn't even have a name. Historians don't, he had a name, but historians don't mention his name. All they mention is غلام قتل أبوه قتل أباه في المعركة. A young man who his father was killed already on the same day. He came to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his sword would drag on the ground. Meaning he was very short, he was still young, very small. He came to Imam Hussein and he said, Ya Aba Abdullah, give me permission to enter the battle. The Imam looks at him, he notices him. He notices that he had realized that his father was killed earlier that morning. The Imam said, I will not give you permission. Why? No, I will not give you permission. Why, Aba Abdullah? He said, because your mother already lost your father. I don't want her to lose you. He said, Ya Aba Abdullah, my mother was the one that sent me to the battle. My mother was the one that gave me the sword and told me to enter the battle. The Imam refused. Moments later, the young man comes back with his mother. The mother was crying. She says, Ya Aba Abdullah, la tutkan bika umuka al-Zahra, wa la utkan bi waladi. Your mother, Fatima, will lose you, will mourn you, and I will not mourn my son. I will not mourn my son. I will not lose my son. I have to be equal with Fatima al-Zahra. Imam Hussein finally gave him permission. The young lad enters the battle. All of a sudden, moments later, the young man was killed. The boy was killed. They chop off his head and they throw back his head to the camp. The mother sees the head. She sees the head. She grabs the head. She removes the sand and the soil from his face. And she tells him, Bunay, بَيَّضَ اللَّهُ وَجْهَكَ كَمَا بَيَّضَ اللَّهُ وَجْهَكَ عَنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ كَمَا بَيَّضْتَ وَجْهِي عَنْدَ فَاطِمَةِ الزَّهْرَى. And then she grabs a pole and she's about to enter the battlefield. And she begins to recite this. أنا عجوز سيدي ضعيفة. أنا عجوز سيدي ضعيفة. خاوية بارية نحيفة. أضربكم بضربة عنيفة. دون بني فاطمة الشريفة. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he goes and he brings her back to the camp. He tells her, Al-Jihad wudha'a 'ala an-nisa'. Women are not allowed to fight. They don't need to fight. He brings her back, but then they bring the headless body of this young man back to the camp so that his mother can sit and mourn him over his dead body. Shoban, مثل الورد يزهون. شبان مثل الورد يزهون حساف على الغبر ينامون يا شبان بغلات والنون تصدعون قلبي من تلوجون لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم يا الله اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم اخذل الكفار والكافرين اللهم ادخل على أهل القبور السرور اللهم اشفي كل مريض اللهم داوي كل جريح اللهم اكسو كل عريان اللهم اشبع كل جامع اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا الا غفرته ولا هما الا فرجته ولا عيبا الا سترته